God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today is our Ascension Gospel from Luke chapter 24, verses 44 through 53. As we see here, the disciples witnessing the ascension of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I have to ask you, how big is your God? This may sound kind of strange, and you may be thinking I've been hanging around with the preschoolers a little too often. Because very often from the preschoolers, I sometimes hear, you know, how God is bigger than a tree, how God is bigger than a house, how God is bigger than you and me. God is big. Well, I like to hang on to those words of those preschoolers because in those words, there's a lot of truth. And us adults, unfortunately, can learn something from them. Now, you may be saying, but Pastor, come on, we know that God is big, really big. But I have to question that, because by our actions, by some of the thoughts we entertain, we actually shrink God. We make God really, really small. Take a look at our text for today. Our text for today says what? Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, now ascends into heaven. The Creed picks this up. On the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. How many times has that phrase been repeated in our liturgy? If you check, and maybe I missed one, but so far we made three references to that. That yes, Jesus is right now at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. The place of honor, the place of glory, at the right side of the Creator of the universe, because He Himself is God. He's also true man. God is bigger than anything beyond our imagination. But unfortunately in our lives, unfortunately, by some of our thoughts, by some of our actions, we shrink God. Let me give you some examples. First of all, what happens a little bit later on in our worship service when we come to the rail of our Lord and Savior at His table? We partake of the bread and the wine, and what's in with and under the bread and wine? We say the body and blood of Christ. Let me just add for emphasis one more point. That the body and blood of Christ are bodily present in with and under the bread and the wine. Some of us may start thinking, wait a minute, Pastor, how can Jesus be at the right hand of God the Father Almighty and still be present in the bread and the wine? Some people have doubts. It's beyond their imagination. They can't understand it. And so they want to deny it. Or it's troubling to them. When we ever do things like that, we're shrinking our God. Have you ever thought for a moment? Jesus being true man and true God, now ascending, going up into heaven. I don't know about you, but if that happened to me, what would happen to me somewhere around 10, 20,000 feet? I would lose any type of oxygen I would need. I'd probably pass out. And if it was up to my own ability to go up into heaven, and I all of a sudden pass out, what's going to happen? I'm going to probably fall with a giant thunk. But not so with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is true man, true God. He is at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. Some of these things are beyond our understanding, and so we say this is what Scripture gives to us, and this is what we believe. Do we truly believe? Do we truly believe our Lord and Savior is bodily present in with and under the bread and the wine, and still at the right hand of God the Father Almighty? If you're with me so far, let me challenge you one step further. Jesus says, "Lo, I am with you always to the end of the age." Is He with us always? The answer is yes. This is what Scripture says. But in your life, especially when things are not going well, do you understand that Christ is with you always to the end of the age? Do you understand that you are never alone? Do you understand that you're never forgotten? Do you understand that you are always loved and cherished by God Almighty? No, sometimes we get depressed. Sometimes we feel like no one cares for us. Sometimes we think that no one really matters, that things just are not going well. And whenever we do this and we sell ourselves short, again, we have just decreased our God who says, I am with you always to the end of the age. Let me bring up another aspect. God also reminds us on how we shouldn't be worrying about things. How God takes care of the birds, how God takes care of the flowers, and how they are clothed in glory, and how you are more important than birds and flowers. And God says, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to provide for you. We should be jumping up and down going, yes, great, wonderful. Then why do we still worry? Why do we think we can control things when we have the Almighty, all-powerful God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who's got the very ear of His Father in heaven, who's sitting right there at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and the Scripture says is interceding for us. Why do we even think that we could even worry about something? But how long do we have to go in our past to find out, yes, we have worried about one thing or another? Jesus reminds us we're supposed to cast our cares and our anxieties upon Him. We shouldn't be worrying, but we do. And when we do, we decrease the size of our God. How small is your God? Unfortunately, in our human life, we recognize that, yes, Jesus did die on the cross. We're not going to take that away from Him. Rose from the dead. As Christians, we believe this. But then we sort of sell God short and saying He's no longer active after that. And then it's up to me. And that completely undoes everything that Jesus has done. No, it's not completely up to you. God has taken care of your salvation. God who has created you, has redeemed you, and now continues to sanctify you. He says, I will be with you always. Cast your anxieties and cares upon Him. Grow in a stronger relationship with Him. But our sinful human nature kicks in and says, no, I can't understand this. And because I can't understand it, I'm going to shrink God into my human brain so I can understand it. And whenever we try to shrink God into our human brain, we make God very, very small. What am I saying? God is beyond our reason. He's bigger than you. He's bigger than me. He's bigger than the houses, and He's bigger than the trees. We need to learn something from these preschoolers. If you ask them to believe and trust in Jesus Christ, they'd sit there and nod their head and go, yeah. If you ask them to cast their cares and worries and bring it to God in prayer, they nod their head by yes. And then they go and do. What happens with us adults? Do we do those things? Well, yeah, we may bring our concerns and requests of God in prayer. But then do we still worry about them? Or do we continue to let them go? When we continue to worry about them, we're selling God short. Or better yet, there are books out there that depict that God has justified you. He died on the cross, forgiving you your sins. And now if you want your eternal reward, sort of God has put you into heaven, if you want your eternal reward, you have to do this, this, and this. Again, we have sold God short. We have shrunken Him down. Did not Jesus complete our salvation upon His death upon the cross? What is more to do? We cannot do it. That's why we need a Savior. But I can name you authors by the books that they write that basically say, as a Christian, we need to keep on doing these good and wonderful things because God didn't finish it. He may have gotten us into the door of heaven, but we want a better place in heaven. And all that is very bad theology. Our church needs to reject this theology because it sells God short. It shrinks God. Getting back to our text, You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. Jesus understands our human nature. He understands how we sometimes are going to worry. He understands on how we're going to fall short of God's glory. And so He doesn't leave us alone. He knows what our minds will do to us. So I'm going to send you the Spirit, He tells us. We know the Spirit comes 10 days later as we celebrate the day of Pentecost. The Spirit comes into the lives of the disciples. They now speak other languages, proclaiming God's Word. But were there some doubts before the Spirit came? More than likely, probably. The human sinful nature must have kicked in with the disciples. They probably sat there and said, "Did we really see what we really saw? Jesus going up into heaven?" Yes, some of them understood. And what happened? They returned to Jerusalem, praising God and worshiping God and telling others what God had done. Yes, this is the events of the ascension. We better not lose sight of that. But God gives us that same Holy Spirit to help grow us in this faith, to remind us that He is with us always, to encourage us in the faith, to help us to grow stronger in a closer relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to truly realize that God is bigger than us, bigger than the trees, bigger than the houses. God is big. But when we go over the words in our creed, "He ascended to the right hand of God, the Father Almighty," how often do we just gloss over those words and sit and don't take much stock into it? What has taken place? Yes, God has completed our salvation. He died on the cross. He rose from the grave. He proclaimed victory over sin, death, and the devil. And now God, as Father, has elevated Him to the highest position at all, to be at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, in His glory. Then Jesus says, This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead, and on the third day, repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in His name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Now let me make the connecting point. Because of the ascension of our Lord, because He is now sitting at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, it now proves that, yes, His death and resurrection was not in vain, but was for the forgiveness of sins. But then again, the church sometimes loses sight over this wonderful message. Sometimes we think the church is more about doing social ministry instead of proclaiming the forgiveness of sins. Sometimes we're more worried about externals than what's going on inside our hearts. Sometimes we're more worried about numbers than proclaiming the message that, yes, He has risen and ascended. The ascension of our Lord brings us back to a reality. We cannot understand this. This is beyond our imagination. We believe it because of what God's Word tells us. We believe it because the Holy Spirit is within us. This is our faith. Whenever we try to sell God short by worrying, by not believing what His Word proclaims to us, by thinking we can understand and rationalize God, we have taken apart the ascension, taken apart His death, taken apart His resurrection. We have compartmentalized God, and we put Him into our mind, and we have made ourselves master over God. Basically, we think we're our God. That's a scary thought. That thought leads to eternal death and damnation. So what do? We remember what the preschoolers say. God is bigger than you. He's bigger than me. He's bigger than the houses and the trees. We ask God to fill us with that Spirit, to help us understand and help us to come to grips what He provides. He provides the forgiveness of sins. He says, "I will take care of you." He says, "I am present with you always to the end of the age." He says, "Take, eat, this is my body. Take, drink, this is my blood." Do we hang on to those words with joy and affirmation? It's my hope and prayer through the Holy Spirit that we do. These are the words of eternal life. This is what He alone provides. Notice the reaction of the disciples witnessing that. Yes, while He was blessing them, He left them and was taken up into heaven, and they worshipped Him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Do we also return to worship with great joy, knowing that, yes, we have a God who has ascended, a God of power, of majesty, of might, of dominion, the eternal of eternals? We ask the Lord to give us an extra measure of His Spirit, so that when our sinful human nature kicks in and we try to compartmentalize God, that we don't do it, but we just take Him at His word and saying, "Okay, God, because You say so, so I believe." We ask the Lord to fill us with His strength, to reassure us and remind us that, yes, He is with us always. And when our doubts come, we say, "Lord, have mercy, forgive me my sins, and help me to trust in You and You alone." We come to the Lord's table seeking His forgiveness because, why? We have shrunk God. And so we come this evening to hear His word, to grow in the faith, and to receive that bread and the wine, which is also the bodily blood and body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is physically present. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.